Let's turn here this morning to our scripture reading, which comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, the very first book of the New Testament and the very last chapter of that book, Matthew 28. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 15 here this morning. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Some familiar text, but we'll read it again and talk about it here again. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Let's pray. Father, as we go over the scriptures, we know this: the truth will set us free. And we know that your scriptures will set us free. We ask, Lord, that these short five verses that we read will be put deep into our souls and into our minds and into our hearts, that they will have transforming power, that we will learn from them. And maybe for as many times as we may have read this scripture, may it present a new and different application for us here this morning. We give you the praise. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We continue here this morning in our sermon series titled Taming the Tongue. Today's message is titled Fake News. This morning I want to look at the communicated word, or as what the Bible would call the tongue, from the standpoint of what we hear others say, and not so much as to what we speak. Many of us in America today now hear the term fake news quite frequently, ever since Donald Trump has been elected to the office of President of the United States. I could be wrong, but I give Mr. Trump credit for coining that term. He uses it quite frequently. And personally, I believe every time he uses that phrase, he is correct. We must remember today that we have books and magazines and all forms of social media, such as email, Facebook, Instagram, text messaging, Twitter, instant message, and many other forms of this thing we now call electronic communication, all which communicate news of some sort. But that news can be either true or it can be false. The news can be genuine or that news can be fake. So what is true and what is false or fake? Can news that we hear be partially true? And the ultimate question is going to be this: how good are we at discerning what is genuine news from that is fake news? I believe there was a time not long ago when we could turn on our television sets and watch any of the three major news networks, which would have been ABC, NBC, and CBS, and actually believe the news that we were told by real journalists like Walter Cronkite, if you remember him. We trusted our news media. Likewise, we attended school and we opened up our history books and we learned about such people as Socrates and Plato and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King. We believed all that history that we read because we trusted our historical sources. Can anything that we hear or read today be trusted anymore? There is a website out there called www.snoops.com, S-N-O-O-P-E-S. The original purpose of this website was to validate questionable news. If word was circulating about a certain person or a certain event, one could go to this website and see if that news was genuine or if it was fake. I am not so sure anymore that the information on this website today is accurate like it once was. Could it be that even the fake news police are corrupted and could be proliferating their own fake news? Have you ever heard this phrase? It is easier to deceive the masses than to convince the masses that they have been deceived. Let me say that again. It is easier to deceive the masses than to convince the masses that they have been deceived. I believe this is exactly where we are in our 21st century American culture. I've been saying this quite frequently over the last couple months. We live in a liberal agenda society here in America that wants to push their news, their views, and their opinions on each and every one of us. Some of what we hear from the liberal left may be true, but much of it is either opinion or it's just downright fake. And this fake news is usually, if not always, anti-biblical, and it is a direct assault on the Word of God. And that should make each and every Christian in the world have righteous anger. We should be extremely upset over the liberal agenda media that's going on in our country today. One example, evolution. Evolution was not even thought of until Charles Darwin conjured it up back in the 1800s. And today, it's taught as truth in all of our school systems, and it's shoved down our throat by the scientific community. And those of us who believe in a six-day God-created creation event, they're laughing at us because we believe in what they call a God-centered fairy tale. I say this, the masses have been truly deceived, and the masses are not the Christians. As I said last Sunday, their words of fake news fall into the category of either foolish talk or false testimony. And the Word of God speaks out against both of those. Christian or otherwise, whose tongues utter such things, God is not pleased with. And the question remains, as I asked earlier, can we discern the difference between what is genuine and what is fake. Well, fake news has been around ever since Genesis chapter 3. When the serpent delivered fake news to Eve and told her half-truths. In verses 4 and 5 of chapter 3 of Genesis, the serpent tells Eve four things. We're going to very quickly look at all four of those and see what he said and determine, is this fake news or not? First, the serpent tells Eve this: you surely will not die. Well, that is a false statement. Fake news. Because of their sin, they would die. Adam and Eve would die. And all of mankind would die both physically and spiritually afterwards because of their fall. So Satan tells a lie. Second, the serpent tells Eve this: for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. Well, guess what? That's a true statement. Their eyes were opened, and for the first time, they realized that they were naked. And in verse 7 of chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, they prompted them to sew fig leaves together to make themselves loin coverings. So now Satan has mixed a little bit of fake with a little bit of truth. But he's not stopped there. He says this: and you will be like God. Fake news again. No created being will ever be like God. But that seems to be the desire of both, not only Adam and Eve many years ago, but it seems to be the desire of many people today, such as the Mormons and some of those prosperity preachers who say that we are little gods with a little g. So we have two lies and one truth. And the fourth thing that the serpent tells Eve is this: you will know good and evil. Once again, Satan tells a true statement. Up until their time of sin, they only experienced good. That's all they knew, was good. But now, because of their sin, they could also experience evil. So here you have, in a couple short sentences, a little bit of truth, a little bit of fake news, and unfortunately, Adam and Eve couldn't tell the difference between them. And they fell. The serpent, the evil one, the devil, Satan, call him what you will, is the originator of fake news. He twists and he distorts the truth to make you and I believe what he wants you and I to believe. Today he is still a serpent, but today we know the Bible tells us he's disguised as an angel of light, but he's also disguised as the broadcast media. He's disguised as social media. He's disguised as our education system. And too many people are falling for his deception. And Christian, it's time we wake up and understand and know the difference. The Bible is full of people bringing fake news. But for the remainder of our time this morning, I want to draw some parallels between the scripture reading that we read from Matthew 28, 11 through 15, and what we hear and read in our news media today, that it will be indeed false testimony. We can clearly see from our scripture text today that the chief priest, they were in a quandary. What were they to do? They must have been asking themselves this: could Jesus' promises of resurrecting from the grave that he's been talking about for years, could that promise be true? There is no way that they could admit to that, because that would mean that Jesus was right all the time, and that they could just possibly be wrong. We have 7 fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin talking about fake news. Let's go to fill-in-the-blank number 1. Fill-in-the-blank number 1 says this: those who proliferate fake news will never admit they are wrong and that someone else may be right. They will never admit that they were wrong. They will never stoop to that level of saying that somebody else is right. They will always insist somebody else is wrong because they could never be wrong themselves. You see, today's news is not about the news. It's just about who's right and who's wrong. And today's news will say, we're always right. So what did the chief priest have to do at that time? They're in a quandary. They create fake news. They instructed the guards. They said this: if you are questioned, here's what you are to say. We were sleeping, and his disciples came by night and stole him. Fill in the blank number 2. Fake news creates a believable story to deceive the masses. It creates a believable story. And this was certainly a story that was believable. Hey, the disciples came at night while we were asleep and they stole the body. Verse 15 tells us that their fake news story was widely spread among the Jews and continued to be believed by the time this gospel was written. Now, let me just give you a little time frame here. Jesus died around the year 30 AD. This gospel was written about 50 to 55 AD. So within a period of 20 to 25 years, this story of the disciples stealing the body was still being told. And I'm sure that it is still being told and believed by some today, where we are clearly told it is a fabricated fake news story. Let's move into point number 3. It says that the guards were paid a large sum of money to tell this story. Fill in the blank number 3. Sometimes, and I repeat sometimes because not all the time, sometimes fake news is promoted with bribery. It's promoted with bribery. It's amazing what money can and does buy. Question: how much of what we hear in our news media today has money funding the news that we hear today? How do I know that somebody isn't going up to one of our news broadcast companies and saying this: I'll give you this. I'll give you this. If you just say what I tell you to say. It worked for the chief priest. Trust me, it's working today. Now let's dig a little deeper for our final 4 fill-in-the-blanks. We're going to dig a little deeper into the mind of one who either delivers or believes in fake news. First, we're going to look at the chief priest, what they were encountering, and then run the parallel with that with our news media today. So first, let's look at the chief priest. We know this: the Jewish people were expecting a Messiah. The Jewish scripture, which would be our Old Testament, gave hundreds of prophecies about this Messiah. The Jewish leaders should have and would have known all of these messianic prophecies. They should have been able to connect the dots and know and be smart enough that this Jesus of Nazareth was the fulfillment of all of these prophecies. Many of the people figured it out. Why couldn't the leaders? The chief priests, they had all the facts. They had the scripture. They had the knowledge. And they had the overwhelming evidence of Jesus Christ standing right there in front of them. So, our next fill in the blank says this: regardless of the facts, facts, F-A-C-T-S, regardless of the facts, fake news media will still believe and deliver false testimony. Why is that? Because they want you and me to believe exactly what they want you and me to believe. There's another part to that fill in the blank number four. With fake news, it's not about the truth. It's about control. Write that word in that blank. With fake news, it's not about truth. It's about control. In John chapter 11, verses 47 through 53, the Word of God tells us that the chief priests and the Pharisees were planning to kill Jesus because they were afraid, the Jewish leadership was afraid, that the Romans would come and take away their place and their nation, it tells us in verse 48. They were determined that no one was ever going to take away their power, and no one was ever going to take away their control. And that's what it's all about today, my friends. It's all about power and control. I read in the news this past week a comment from Hillary Clinton. She was asked, if you could be the CEO of any company in the world, which company would you want to be the CEO of? And her response was instantaneous. I would want to be the CEO of Facebook. And here's her reason, and I quote, immense power it has over the world's flow of information. Immense power it has over the world's flow of information. It's not about truth, my friends. It's about control. Let's move on. Getting back to the Jewish leaders, they were primarily made up of two groups of people. They were made up of Pharisees and Sadducees. And these two groups of people, they had major theological differences. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection, nor did they believe in angels. And the Pharisees did. So what do we have? It says in our scripture, we have the Roman guards reporting to them of an appearance of an angel, because verse 11 says that they reported everything to the chief priests. I'm sure they told him about the angel. So they reported to them about the appearance of an angel and the resurrection of this man, Jesus. Now you would think that the Pharisees would be excited about this. That fits their theology. Hey, that's right. We believe in angels. We believe in the resurrection. And now it's just been proven right, because there was an angel and there was a resurrection. And they could finally go to those Sadducees and point their fingers in the faces of the Sadducees and say, I told you so. Did that happen? No, it did not. Fill in the blank number five. Delivering fake news may sometimes compromise one's personal beliefs. I really wonder how many people in the news media business today may be reporting news that they really do not agree with, but they do it for the sake of keeping their job and the money that it pays. Because to them, something else is far more important than the truth. And they will compromise their own values and their own morals. I've been saying this since day number one that I got here. The truth isn't always easy, but it does matter, and it will set you free. How many of those people in these news organizations are in terrible bondage? And I'll tell you where it takes them. It takes them right to the drugs and right to the alcohol, because they can't deal with it. Next, we got two more fill in the blanks. The last thing a Jewish leader wants to associate with is a Gentile Roman soldier. The Jewish leaders hate these guys. They oppress their nation. And what do we have here in the scripture? We have the Jewish leaders doing just that. The chief priests set aside their religious purity by using Gentile unbelievers to assist in their cover-up of the resurrection. And they not only paid them a large sum of money, which would have come out of the temple treasury, that would be like taking money that you and I put in this basket and giving it to these Roman centurions. They not only gave that money for the soldiers to lie, but they promised to keep them out of trouble should their paid lies get them in trouble with the governor. Oh my goodness. The chief priests of Israel were willing to satisfy, willing to make atonement for Gentile sinners who were paid to sin by Jewish priest in order to appease a Gentile ruler? You gotta be kidding me. From the standpoint of the law, the priest's actions could not be any more despicable. Fill in the blank number six. Fake news will sometimes break the law to deliver their false testimony. They will break the law to deliver their false testimony. We see here that the chief priest certainly did. So I need to ask, how far will today's media go to indoctrinate you and indoctrinate me into what they want us to believe? Will they go as far as breaking the law of the land to do that? Let me answer that for you. Yes, they do, and yes, they have. Maybe the correct word to use here is this: hypocrisy. That's always a good word. Hypocrisy. They say one thing and then do another. They have and they will use double standards to fit their agenda. Have you been watching the news this past week about Roseanne Barr, who does one little tweet and says one little bad thing about one other person and her entire show gets canceled? Yet other shows on ABC can say anything they want against the president, his wife, and his daughter, use whatever language they want, and they get promoted. Double standards. One final point. Five times in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus accuses the Pharisees of being blind. Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah in John chapter 11 when talking about a person who continues in their blindness and in their unbelief. And Jesus says this: "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." Fill in the blank number seven. Pretty simple, and I think you know what the word is. Those who buy into fake news are blind to the truth. They're blind to the truth. I don't believe I need to explain much about that. But let me say something that Jesus says in Matthew 15, and I'll let you fill in the rest of the sentence. When the blind lead the blind, what happens? They all fall into the pit. Thank you. When the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the pit. Folks, it is easier to deceive the masses than to convince the masses that they have been deceived. But here's the homework for all of us Christians. Are we able to discern truth from error? Are we able to discern what is genuine from that which is fake? And if you say, you know, Mike, sometimes I'm not so good at that. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm not so good at that either. But I do this. I don't believe anything until I research it out. And we all need to do this. It's the same thing when speaking. We need to do the same thing when hearing. We need to ask God for wisdom, that He will open up our eyes and open up our hearts and open up our minds to what is truly the truth. Because I promise you, the truth isn't always easy, but it does matter. And I promise you, it will always set you free. Next week, we're going to talk about encouraging words we can say in our quest to tame the tongue. Let's pray.